So everybody's different. You have to find the thing that you do well in all of this and just focus on that and try and offload the stuff that you're not good at or you don't like. And please, please, please don't let anybody tell you what it should be for you. That's the other thing. A lot of the guilt arises because we have all these expectations coming at us from everywhere. And we think in order to be a good person, good mom, good grandma, whatever, we have to appease everybody's opinion. And I would say no.
Welcome to the Rewilded Human Podcast with Lucille and Lynn.
Welcome, everyone, to the Rewilded Human Podcast. We are Lynn and Lucille, two rewilded women who are here to help you navigate through a life of chaos, confusion, and limitations so that you may become the amazing being that you were always meant to be. We'll be sharing our wisdom in response to your questions about the things that may be holding you back in your life. Remember, you are entitled to leading your best life on your terms. So enjoy the podcast.
Welcome to episode one. We are so excited to be here. What about you, Lucille?
I'm totally excited. I'm so excited that I'm speechless.
Fantastic. Would you like to start with the first question?
Yes, I'm going to start with our first question. Thank you to everybody who submitted questions. We are so excited that we can be here to help you. So here's the first question. It comes from Sarah. How can I rebuild trust with my partner after a major betrayal? I want to move forward, but the fear of getting hurt again is holding me back. So, Sarah, bless you. I think we've all been in that situation where we felt betrayed, and it's really, really hard to, you know, get the courage back and the confidence back to move forward. And so one of the things I always tell people who are in this situation is take your time, you know, because you need to heal.
Absolutely.
And sometimes we think that we are facing one incident of a betrayal and that's it. But often I found it's kind of like the tip of the iceberg, and that one betrayal actually links to a whole bunch of other things in our past, traumas, losses, other betrayals. And so that may be one reason why it's sometimes hard to get past that betrayal. So I think it's really important, you know, whether you go see a therapist about it or you don't, the important thing is to do a deep dive on yourself.
Absolutely.
And journal and reflect and ask yourself, okay, especially if you're really consumed by it, you know, you can't stop thinking about it and your brain's going over and over it like a hamster on a wheel. Wow. You might want to ask yourself, okay, does this in some ways remind me of something that happened in my past? And the trick is to try to clear the memory, whatever it may be from the past that's feeding into the current issue, the current crisis. And sometimes
with the major betrayal, it's usually cheating, right? I'm sure
that's what we're talking about here. Yes.
Yeah. And now, I mean, is that, do you, in your experience, can people actually come back from that and build
absolutely
a stronger relationship?
Absolutely. Absolutely they can. I think that one of the things that we don't understand is that we are highly organic and constantly healing human beings. If we give our nervous system the proper support, mm-hmm. we can heal from anything. Mm-hmm. So my whole thing has always been to help people heal from trauma in my psychotherapy work. And I've seen it done so, so many times, because your whole being is geared to healing as long as you know what to do. The problem is sometimes we get so loaded down with traumas and losses and stuff that each one, we can't heal one before we're off to the next trauma.
Yeah.
You know, so we have to take real time, take stock, and reflect. And as I say, even if you don't have to go to, you don't have to go to a therapist. If you want to go to a therapist, great. But even sometimes people just journaling on their own have done release this. So, you know, take heart, Sarah, because absolutely you can come back from this. So, Lynn, do you have anything else that you wanted to add to that?
Well, just I do have an example. I know a couple who went through this kind of betrayal, and they said, they both will say now that they actually needed to go through this because their relationship has become really stagnant and they were stuck, and, you know, they were already married for like 20, 25 years. And they needed this to like shake up the marriage and for them to appreciate each other again. And this is like, you know, now 25 years later and they're still together and they're still happy. So it's interesting. Sometimes maybe people need to go through that. But I often wonder, like in my relationship, in my, like, would I be able to forgive? Like, would I be able to get beyond that and to forgive the person and to trust the person again? Because once you lose the trust, where do you go from there? That's what's so different. That's so difficult for me, because trust, for me, in a relationship is the most important thing. And if someone takes that away from me, be it friendship or relationship or, you know, with parents, with anyone, it's very difficult to regain that trust from my perspective. So, you know, I admire people who can do that and who can forgive and move on. But it could be a really challenging thing for some people.
You're absolutely right. You know, and the other thing is that a lot of it depends on how the betrayer behaves, right? Yes. If they are still committed to the relationship and they are totally willing to take responsibility and change. And you have to, you know, be realistic that, you know, once you've had a major betrayal, I agree with you, it's very, very hard, especially if it seems to come up from nowhere, right? Yeah. And you've been lied to, secrets have been kept from you, who knows what's going on behind the scenes.
Yes.
That's a major wound. And so if the betrayer comes to you and says, you know, this is what's happened, I am so sorry. Mm-hmm. And they really do give you the sense that they are empathic how bad you're feeling.
Yeah.
And make every effort to change. You know, you go to marital therapy, you do whatever you need to. Then absolutely you're right. There are relationships where this kind of thing heal for sure. Yeah. But it takes a while, because, you know, you can't snap back. The other person cannot just snap back and say, okay, fine, it's okay. Yes. Yeah. As if nothing happened.
She's doing it too. Then
she's doing it too. And then you have a major problem on your hands.
Yeah, marriage. For sure.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So journaling, perhaps therapy, lots of communication with your partner.
Absolutely, because you have to wipe the slate clean with your partner. Yeah. From that point on, it has to be about, we are going to be transparent about everything. If I don't like how you squeeze the toothpaste tube, we're going to talk about it. You know.
Now, what about transparency with like their phones and their passwords? What do you recommend in that regard?
Oh, you know, that's such a good question, because I have had so many, it's usually women clients who, you know, they go into the phones, they go into the laptops, they do everything possible. And sometimes just the act of getting your partner to agree that they're going to give you their password helps to reassure the female partner.
Yes.
Or the partner. I shouldn't always say it's female. But it is important. I personally do not feel that's, if you have to do that, then wow, you're really hitting rock bottom. However, at the same time, if you're both intent on really fixing this relationship, and then maybe that you have to go there. Maybe there have been so many betrayals that at this point it's like, you have to show me everything in your private life, absolutely everything, before I can even begin to trust you, right?
How sad is that? And how difficult in today's world, where cheating is so easy, right? You just swipe, you're on social media and you have 100 guys or women reaching out to you. I mean, you know, when we were younger, this wasn't really an issue, right? Like all of these temptations, it wasn't like this at all. Like,
you know, I think it was an issue. It was just handled very differently. It wasn't as easy, so open and out there, right? Yes, but I've heard every story possible about how people have managed to do this in secret. It's craziness. If you've got a determination, you'll do it. Yeah, the sad thing is that it's all about avoidance and instant gratification. And that is just so immature that it's kind of like, if you're engaging in that, you have to do a major amount of growing up, to become mature and responsible and really start facing conflict in a constructive way.
Yes.
Right. Yeah. Otherwise it won't work at all. It just won't work. Yeah.
I agree completely. Mm-hmm. So the next question we have from Alex. I've been dealing with toxic friendships that drain my energy. How do I handle these situations without hurting anyone? And how can I create boundaries to protect my well-being? Well, thank you for your question, Alex. I think we've all been there, toxic friendships, right? Mm-hmm. And they can like drain you like nothing else.
Mm-hmm.
A close second to like toxic family members, I would say, right, Lucille?
Absolutely, absolutely, yes.
Now, with friendship, I think it's a little bit different because, you know, we choose our friends, but we can't choose our family. So I can just say from my experience that I've always been, I think we're the same in this, you know, we're empaths, we're kind, we're, you know, we have that kind of energy that kind of draws people in. And then a lot of times you draw in people that are just feeding on your energy, right? And they're very negative and they're very toxic and they suck the life out of you. And absolutely. I went through my youth for decades with friendships constantly like that. You know, it was always a one-way street. And I came to a point, I don't know if this will help you, Alex, but for me, I came to a point where I said, that's enough. You know, like my peace of mind and my health and my mental health is more important than taking on all these strays and trying to help everyone. So, you know, I came to a point where I said, I will only do things that bring me joy. So, you know, if a friend wants me to do this or go out, you know, I always felt like I need to say yes because I don't want to hurt their feelings, but I don't really want to go. I don't want to do those things. Now I do things that bring me joy. I'm at that age. I'm 53. You know, if something doesn't bring me joy, I don't need to do it. If someone doesn't bring me joy and I don't enjoy their company, then I'm done. And I don't feel an obligation to have to spend time with them. What do you think, Lucille? Have you encountered this before?
Oh, tons of times. And I have had so many times in my life where I have had to kind of shed certain friendships over and over again. And over time, thankfully, I've gotten much better at, I have radar for when somebody toxic is coming towards me now. And I think everybody can develop radar for that. Absolutely everybody. So yes, I agree with you thoroughly. It was great for you that you just took stock and said no more. And I think that's what happens to a lot of people in these relationships is they hit rock bottom with it and say, this is so draining. Mm-hmm. I dread contact with this person.
Yeah.
Not worth the suffering that I have to go through.
I know.
Person. And that's usually makes people snap. And I'll tell you how not to do it. I remember once I had a very narcissistic best friend when I was going through medical school, and you know, she was fun, we had a great time, but she was very, very narcissistic. Everything was about her. And you know, when you're with narcissistic people, you sometimes feel like you're like 6 inches tall, and they're like larger than life, but you're just 6 inches tall and you just fit into their shadow, right? And I fell into the role of just kind of supporting her ego. And I actually at some point started to feel physically ill in her presence.
Wow.
And one day we were at lunch and she was telling me some horrible story of how she, pardon my French, had screwed over some boyfriend of hers just to get some gratification out of it. And I blew up at her. I blew up and I told her everything that I'd been thinking about her for years.
Wow.
This is not the way.
Good, didn't it? It felt amazing, right?
I have to admit, it felt fabulous. But I do not advocate that. But that is what often happens. Either people just separate away and, you know, find excuses,
not to be with that person, or they have a major blow up. And if I had to do it over again, and I actually have done it over again, I have been very, very diplomatic about ending relationships. I had to learn to be very diplomatic. And I would say that is the best way, even though you do get that high from giving them, you know, your verbal blast of fire. The better way is, and you will feel better too in the long run, is to be very clear and very respectful, and then follow through, like really follow through and shut the door, but in a respectful way.
And so I think you'll agree with this one, Lucille. Alex, get a dog.
Right? It doesn't matter if they're
narcissistic. Get a dog. The best friend you'll ever have.
The best friend you'll ever have. And I would also say, Alex, that again, when you're, if you're finding that you're just drawing all these toxic relationships to you, you also have to do the deep dive and say, listen, what is it in me that's attracting these people? And again, not to be blaming yourself or angry or judgmental about yourself, but just like, wow, the common denominator here is me. And I have to find out, I have to delve deep and find out, what is it that I'm not doing? What is it that I am doing? Am I being too solicitous, too, you know, supportive of these people's egos?
Yeah, right? Absolutely. So do a bit of work on yourself, Alex. And, you know, when someone's that toxic and sucking the life out of you, you need to cut them loose, because if they're not bringing joy to your life, life is too short to spend with toxic friends, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely it is.
Okay, we have the next question. We have it from Alice. From Alex to Alice.
All right, so Alice writes, I would love to hear more about how aging women balance their work and family lives while maintaining their well-being. So many of us are still working, have young children who we may be helping out with home purchases and weddings, etc., and aging parents with health issues. How do we balance it all? At what point do we get to settle down and start having fun? That's a really good question. Should we feel guilt if we have to let some things fall? Okay, that's all from me. Thank you, Alice.
Guilt, that's just, you know, it's like, it's in our DNA as women, right? It is. Guilt. It we is are absolutely. Born with guilt.
Yes. Do you know, Alice, I think this is such a great question. It pertains to so many people. Every one of us has gone through this. And, you know, even though I am childless, I had a period of my life where I had to be very supportive of my aging parents who were having all sorts of issues. And I was running a full-time practice and trying to take care of myself in the process. So I understand. And Lynn could speak far more to the whole issue of having children. But the one thing that is always fundamental is that you help no one if you don't feel replenished, if you don't feel like you can call on resources of your own, if you don't have things that you do that give you pleasure and joy in life. And so it's different for every person. I mean, I have close friends who are grandmothers, and they still maybe have an aging parent or whatever, and they're taking care of a million things, but they will drop everything and run off to take care of the grandchildren. And that's a great pleasure for them. That gives them balance. That brings something to them. I have other women that I know who they realize they were never cut out to be parents, and they're not that great at being grandparents either. And so they let the in-laws, for example, take most of the care of the kids and the grandkids. And then you say, well, oh, geez, but aren't they guilty? Do you know what? A lot of them get over it. You can always get over it. Why? Because you always find ways that you can bring your strengths into the mix without doing things that drain you.
Yeah.
Like, for example, in one case, you know, the mother was really, really good, or this woman that was a client, she was very, very good at being emotionally supportive to her grown daughter. And she didn't like babysitting, but you know, the daughter had an issue. She always knew she would come to mom, and that was a source of great reward. So everybody's different. You have to find the thing that you do well in all of this and just focus on that and try and offload the stuff that you're not good at or you don't like. And please, please, please don't let anybody tell you what it should be for you. That's the other thing. A lot of the guilt arises because we have all these expectations coming at us from everywhere. And we think in order to be a good person, good mom, good grandma, whatever, we have to appease everybody's opinion. And I would say no. You're in charge of your life. You do your life.
Yeah.
And find the other people out there who are doing the same thing. They're doing their own thing. If you can, find them. And create a support system.
Yeah, that's really important. I mean, I think what I would say, Alice, is everything that Lucille said, you have to look out for number one. You know, and if you don't take care of yourself, you're not able to take care of anyone else. And I think, you know, a lot of times women that I know feel guilty for going to the gym or, you know, look or taking care of themselves and stuff like that. But by doing that, you're setting a good example for your family, for your children, for everyone around you. And because you're going to be healthy, you will be able to promote that to your family and also take care of them. Because if you're not healthy, how can you take care of anyone else? And that goes for mental health as well as physical health. So, you know, nourish your body, make home-cooked meals, you know, spend the time on that, spend time in nature, ground yourself, you know, outside in the ground, catch every sunrise, sunset, so that you feel balanced. And I think when you feel balanced inside, in your soul, then you let go of the guilt and you let go of the pressure. And then you realize that, okay, for example, sleep for us ladies, right? It's like non-negotiable. We need 7 to 8 hours of sleep a day or a night. And I know so many women who are sleeping 3-4 hours because I have to do everything for my family. No, woman, you need to sleep. You need to sleep, because if you stop sleeping properly, everything's going to go downhill. Your hormones, your bodily function, nothing's going to work. Your brain's not going to work, and you can be useless to everyone else. You may be spinning out of control and taking care of everyone right now, but you know what? You're going to hit rock bottom so fast and so hard, and then you're going to need everyone else to take care of you, and then the real guilt kicks in.
Yes. So, you know, you're so right. That's an excellent point. Excellent.
Take the time. Don't feel bad about taking time. Go to a spa, go on vacation with your friends for a couple of days, go away for the weekend, come back refreshed, make sure you're sleeping, eating healthy, you know, walking. Those things are super important. I know how hard it is, especially you two, Lucia, like to take care of an elderly parent. In my case, it was a mother-in-law, and it drains everything out of you. So I totally understand that. But, you know, what can we do? I mean, you know, those are things that we need to handle that will come with time for pretty much everyone. And yeah, just hang in there, Alice. You've got this. And we have one more question for today. And this is from Brit. How do you learn to become an entrepreneur or create a business?
Oh, this is right up your alley.
It's going, yeah, I knew you were going to do
that. Alley, Lynn. It really is. Yes.
Well, okay. A lot of things have changed since we were entrepreneurs and started our companies. This was many years ago. I'm not really going to get into the technical stuff because, you know, it really depends what kind of business you want to do and what ideas you have. I'm going to speak from the side of passion. I'm going to say, first of all, find your passion, find what you love to do. And what they say, you know, if you do what you love, you'll never have to work a day in your life. I think a lot of people go into business to make money, to make quick money. They want everything fast. There's always so much competition out there. I think whatever you decide to do, do it from the heart and do something that, you know, fuels your heart, that makes you feel alive, that makes you feel good about giving or doing something for someone else. And I think that's, you know, those are the kind of businesses that people want to support. They feel it. They feel when your heart's in it. And that's kind of my advice from that perspective. Do you have something else, Lucille, that you would add to that?
You know, I think it's a perfect question for something called a Rewilded Human podcast. Why? Because being an entrepreneur in this world means that you have to become wild, in a sense. You have to break free of all the, you know, the menu options of jobs that are out there. And you really have to think for yourself. You have to stand on your own two feet and be very, very independent. And I know you did that, Lynn. You're a great example of someone who just broke free. And you, I know you and your husband did these amazing things with businesses. And look at you. You're happy as a clam, right?
I tried. Yes.
You know, you become wild in this world by becoming an entrepreneur. And it brings out so much in you, just as Lynn said, your passion, your love, your creativity, your freedom. Once you get this thing going, whatever the business is, you can have much more freedom. And you wake up every day thinking, hey, there's another challenge today, but that's okay. I'm going to learn from it and we're going to go forward with this business, right? So I think that almost it's a crime in our world that we are not taught to be entrepreneurs. You know, that when we are raised, we're taught we're supposed to be very obedient, learn all our lessons, and find a job where we are basically, unfortunately, enslaved to somebody else, right?
And, you know, try to find a unique idea. There's still unique ideas out there. You know, if there are 10 pizza places near your house, don't open the 11th one. It's not going to, you know, it doesn't make any sense. Find your niche. Find something unique. Find your place in the world, something that you can do better than anyone else can. You know, it can be something small, like people make millions of dollars out of inventing something crazy, something small and stupid, but useful, right? So find something that makes your heart sing and something that's useful and unique for other people, something that they would want.
Perfect.
Perfect. Should we wrap it up there then, our first episode?
Yes, absolutely. Okay, so wrap it up, and then do you want to get back on and do a little bit of a debrief, just the two of us?
Yes, absolutely. I'm going to pause this 1 second. So thank you, everyone, for watching our first episode. And, you know, you guys can send us your questions. You can reach out to us on Instagram and also email us, send your questions by email or even in the comments below, and we'll be answering you in the next episode.
Please be aware that Lynn and I are here to provide insights, advice, stories that are for educational and entertainment purposes only. None of our content should be considered to be personal, medical, or mental health therapy. If you are experiencing a mental health or physical health challenge, please consult the appropriate healthcare specialist. We are here to provide the best possible content in an atmosphere of positive conversation and personal growth.